Turning your Bibles, please, to Job chapter 22. I'm sure each one of you that are online tonight with us, that you love to pray. And it's so wonderful when you're able to see God do so many great things. When you come together as an army, a military unit, and you pray, and then you see God do his part to bring forth what he ordained from the beginning. Some people say when it comes to President Trump, well, he lost that round. No, he didn't lose a round. He's still president. Mr. Biden thinks he's playing president, at least in front of the public. But behind the veil, behind closed doors, he knows that he's not. And he knows that he's not doing a very good job, even at what little he's doing. So we thank God that the true president is still standing in his place and he's accomplishing, I don't know, maybe as much now as he was when he was in the White House. So when he goes back to the White House, I cannot imagine how quickly things are going to move on behalf of this nation. I think it's going to be wonderful. And all of us who have stood in the gap for this man and for this nation all these years are going to be so ecstatic. Zechariah, the prophet Zechariah, said we'd be dancing in the streets. And that would make God glad because we are glad. And we're just not going to have enough ways to tell him just how glad we are that he's so faithful. Okay, well, let me get moving forward. Job 22, starting with verse 21. I'm going to be reading out of the Amplified tonight. I hope that's all right. Acquaint now yourself with him. Agree with God. And show yourself to be conformed to his will, and be at peace. By that you shall prosper, and great good shall come to you. Receive, I pray you, the law and the instruction from his mouth, and lay up the words in your heart. If you return to the Almighty and submit and humble yourself before him, you will be built up if you put away the unrighteousness far from your tents. If you lay gold in the dust and the gold of Ophir among the stones of the brook, considering them of little worth, and make the Almighty your gold and the Lord your precious silver treasure, then you will have delight in the Almighty. And you will lift up your face to God. Doesn't that sound wonderful? All we have to do is lay the gold and silver in the dirt, and we'll lift up our face unto the Lord, and we will have delight in him. That's all it takes. Doesn't sound like much, but then try to do it, huh? You will make your prayer to him, and he will hear you. And you will pay your vows. You shall also decide and decree a thing, and it shall be established for you. And the light of God's favor shall shine upon your ways. When they make you low, you will say, there is a lifting up, and the humble person, he lifts up and saves. He'll even deliver the one for whom you intercede, who is not innocent. Yes, He will be delivered to the cleanness of your hands. Isn't that an amazing promise? Because we have that promise, we can pray for sinners all over the world, knowing that God will answer our prayers, not because they're perfect, they're sinners, but because we have given our hearts and our lives over to God. By His blood we are purified. We no longer love the gold and silver and the temporal things that once made us so happy. But we have looked to the Lord. We have found in Him our trust and His faithfulness to the things that we have entrusted to Him. One of those things for you and me is this precious nation. Now, granted, not everyone thinks America is the most wonderful nation in the world, but they just need to come up and spend some time with us intercessors. And they'd learn to love America more than they ever did when they were a kid. I can remember taking Ricky on a journey. It lasted the whole summer. I just took her and we went all over the nation. And one of the places that we went to was Mount Rushmore. We went to see the president's faces. And Ricky thought, this has got to be the most wonderful thing in the world. How did they get their faces up there on the mountain, Mom? She was just a kid. And I said, well, I think someone chiseled their faces into the mountain. Aren't they beautiful? She said, wow, a person really did that? How'd they get way up there? I love to hear a child's mind. But I say that because on this trip, I cried in and out of every day, throughout the day as we traveled. Every new place that we would go, I would share with Ricky the history of that place. And tears would be flowing down my cheeks. And I thought at the time, I didn't think it was possible for me to ever love America more than I was loving America as a child, as a teenager, a young adult. But that summer that we traveled, oh, and listen to this, this will probably really excite you. Halfway around this journey, a blonde-haired, blue-eyed German young man, I don't know, he may have been an angel, I'm not sure, but he found us. We were at a rest stop, and he came up over a hill straight to our car and said he was German and he needed to get to the border of Washington and Canada for his next tour. And would we mind if he would travel with us for a while? Well, we kept him. We took him all the way to where he needed to go. And boy, we loved being with that young man. He was just so wonderful. And I asked him at one point, I said, so have you traveled all over the States? And he said, yes, the most wonderful months of my life. This country is huge and it is amazing. And Americans are amazing. So Ricky and I just thought, it must have been an angel because he was just too good. He was just too perfect. And he was real pretty, too, you know, like angels are. I think America brings people like that to this country to remind them that love really can win love can act as an anchor to the soul when a nation is in trouble. Love can sprout wings and enable us to fly when we need to fly, because the nation needs faith. It needs love, it needs faith, it needs joy, it needs hope. It needs to know that the God of America, I'm going to start crying. They need to know that the God of America is not finished. And if he's going to fulfill his promises to the people of this nation, he will fulfill his promises to Christians all over the world, considering their nations. So as we pray for America, we're certainly not the worst nation out there, and we're not the best. But what we are is a people who have placed their hope in God. And he alone can do what America needs and what the world needs. And he uses his church to help bring those things about. And what a privilege it is to be able to pray to the God of the whole earth and see such tremendous changes that we never thought in. Well, we never thought. As soon as we knew how much trouble America was in, we never thought we could really bring it out, did we? We just had this wild hope that maybe, just maybe, he really is the kind of God we heard about in Sunday school. And it's worth a try. And look what he's done in 20 years. Sometime we'll have to have a meeting on the phone and go through 22 years of answered prayer that has come about due to your intercession for this nation. And it will be enough for you to turn somersaults with. I promise you, he's so good. Acquaint yourself now with God. Agree with him. That is one of the primary keys to success in intercession, is to acquaint yourself with the heart of God. He called me as an intercessor as soon as I got saved. I didn't even know what the word meant. But he told me that I was one. I looked it up, and I thought, gee, I wonder what these kind of people do. And it took a while for him to teach me and to train me, and to give me faith for answered prayer. But we kept chugging away and kept working on it, and boy, am I glad we did. But listen to this. This is such an awesome, awesome thought. I learned about the heart of God through intercession. You say, well, you have the Bible to teach you that. Oh, but what happens in intercession is it makes the Word of God come alive in our hearts. So we experience his heart, then we read the Bible, and there it is in black and white. Then we learn some more about the thoughts of God, and we read the Bible some more, and there it is. We knew it yesterday in prayer. Now it's in black and white right in front of us. I've spent a whole lifetime getting to know how God is, who he is, how wonderful he is, how faithful he is, how all-powerful he is, how all-knowledgeable he is. Everything good about him and everything you really want to fear if you're going to have battles against him. I've just learned about this being that is willing to be our God, our King, our Lord, even our friend, our brother, our father. It's wonderful. And this is what prayer does, acquaint ourselves with God. and in acquainting ourselves with him, agree with God and show yourself to be conformed to his will. Because if you will do those things, there is no prayer he will not answer. Why? Because you will always be praying his will. And be at peace. By that you shall prosper, and great good shall come to you. I think in trying times like we're in as a nation, it's not always easy to find peace. But I have to, and I'm not saying this to make myself sound better than anyone, please know that. It's just, I know God, and I know he's faithful. We can come to the brink, and I bet lots of you already know this, I don't have to say it. We can come to the brink and know there's not a time, there's not enough time for him to intervene. And no sooner does that thought go through our mind, and he's done it. He's as faithful can be. It says that we will prosper, and great good shall come to us. Receive, I pray you, the law and the instruction from his mouth, and lay up his words in your heart. You know, the day that he took me into union was the most exciting day in my life, and I'm not going to go through a lot of conversation about that due to lack of time. But I do want to tell you this. That day, I am sitting in the hotel, my hotel room, because we're getting ready to have another gathering. I'm sitting there and I'm praying, and suddenly this laser beam of, it looked like a stream of fire, like that, came down from the heavens from his hand. It hit my heart and wrote upon my heart in fire. I don't even know how to pronounce what it's called, but the Tetragrammaton or something like that of the name of God, Yahweh. Some might say, no, his name is Yahweh. Well, you can call him Yahweh. He won't be offended. But when he talks to me, he tells me his name is Yahweh. So, but some people pronounce the W like a V, or the V like a W. So it really doesn't matter that much. But it was Yahweh that he wrote on my heart. And that's why I'm saying it. He wrote his name on my heart in fire. And when he did that, the change that came about, because it was at that precise moment I was taken into union with him, the change that came about in me was so dramatic, I didn't even know myself. It was incredible. Elizabeth and I sat down one day and I said, just, you know, I'm not asking you to give me a big head. I'm not asking for that, but you know me probably as well as anybody. So I want you to tell me if you feel that there's been any changes. And I think she came up with a list of about, 32 things? Dramatic changes that she saw in me due to union. He really does change things when he owns it. And he owns my heart. And I'm so thankful. Because he owns my heart, I get to know his heart. And because I get to know his heart, I can pray and know he's listening. And he will keep his promises, and he will heal our land, and he will send the glorious wave of revival, wave upon wave upon wave, that he has been promising since the early 1900s. It is going to be so magnificent. None of us can comprehend until we're living it, just how wonderful it's going to be. And he told me that when he sends revival, at that moment, that glory is what heals the land. So when you see revival flowing across the nation, you can jump up and down and say, God is healing our land. He's healing our nation. And you will be right. And everyone will think, you've become a prophet. Well, you kind of have, because now you're saying what God says. Isn't this wonderful? If you return to the Almighty and submit and humble yourselves before him, you will be built up. If you put away unrighteousness far from your tents. Now, this is for America, right? Not many of us on this line have multiple homes. He's talking to the whole nation here. If you lay gold in the dust and the gold of Ophir among the stones of the brook, considering them of little worth, and make the Almighty your gold and the Lord your precious silver treasure, then you will have delight in the Almighty, and you will lift up your voice in your face to God. Some people think, well, I get disappointed with God sometimes because he doesn't do things quite as soon as I want him to and the way I want him to. But you know what? If we will throw our buying power into the streams, considering it of little worth, and come before the throne of God with a heart of humility, a heart of meekness, a heart of righteousness, if God so much as whispers only your name, you will be the happiest camper on the earth. Because you can't buy that. Not with $1 trillion, you can't buy it. But if he knows your name, then he also knows every prayer you're praying. He knows every promise you're waiting for. And he will answer. But we just don't see all that. We don't understand if our heart is cluttered with all of this other stuff. You will make your prayer to him and he will hear you and you will pay your vows. You shall also decide and decree a thing and it shall be established for you. And the light of God's favor shall shine upon your ways. It's wonderful to decree and to declare things. It's wonderful. It's exciting. And then to see it come to pass, it's an exciting thing. But I think even more exciting than that is that you can come into a place of favor with our God. That you can decree or declare, and he will listen, and he will create for you if it's necessary. Having him as a father is wonderful. But when you walk so close to him that his thought becomes your action, your life is wholly changed. When they make you low, you will say, there is a lifting up, and the humble person he lifts up and saves. He will even deliver the one for whom you intercede, who is not innocent, yet he will be delivered through the cleanness of your hands. I want to say something. I have to chuckle when I hear a Christian say, I don't have pride. I have to chuckle. Because you think that if a person has a Bible, and the Bible says that we all have pride, that we have to believe that. We can't be foolish and consider ourselves above the things that God needs to rid us of. When we walk in meekness and in humility, we want nothing in this life except Him and His desire. The pride, the lust for things, the lust for power, those are things that are not acceptable in the eyes of God, but His blood covers us, helps us, even purges us of those things so that we can be pleasing to Him through and through. Someone once said to me, well, how do you know when you're humble enough? And the only way I know how to say it is, a person that is truly walking in contrition and in the humility of Christ is no longer cognizant of themselves. They have been so broken in a very godly way that all they see is Christ, His day, His will, His face, His heart, His mind. But they're no longer cognizant of themselves and their own demands, their own desires. They belong to Him. He owns them, and He owns them so completely. That's the way Paul walked with Him. That's the way Enoch walked with Him. That's the way Moses walked with Him. Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, you can go on and on. John the Beloved, John the Baptist, you can go on and on and see biblical characters being revealed to us who have been made into the image of Christ. And when we are made into the image of Christ, when we look into the mirror, we no longer see ourselves, we see Him. And it is that same life, that same light, that same beauty, glory, that keeps us all the days of our life. Only He can take us there. What He needs from us, that our legs are willing to go and follow where He leads. And the only thing that can get us in the places He wants us to go is prayer. So tonight, I hope I've helped you. Your first goal always has to be Christ. Not getting the answer to your prayer. Christ! If it's His will you want, your prayer will be answered. In fact, it's answered before you ever ask. And I can tell you, for all those of you who are praying for America, standing in the gap for America, that is His will. Keep praying, keep believing, because it's about to happen. Very, very soon.